opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I mean, physically, you're probably not going to ever out-rebound that team if you're SFA because they just have better bodies. They've got better athletes. But, you know, they didn't go away. And I really think when you look at it, that's the only thing you can point to and go, well, that's what really did it for them was the turnovers. Yeah. Because statistically, like you said, every other spot, they got beat.
Here's one positive if you're an O'Brien fan. His first 6 years, better than Belichick's first 6 years. But here's the problem. Belichick did 5 years in Cleveland, and his first year with the Patriots, he's 5-11. So O'Brien has a better record through 6 years than Belichick did. He does not have a better playoff record. He was 1-3, and Belichick's 1-1.
Okay.
But then, of course, in year six, Belichick won the Super Bowl, or excuse me, year seven, and he hasn't had a losing season since.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, hour number three. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And if you want to comment on the Twitch channel, you can do that as well. Missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. Been a nice mix of sports and non-sports. And it's all available on podcastarena.com. So check it out. Pretty sure there's only about 8 of you listening, but that's okay.
That's all right.
We're happy to be here.
We're here for our own personal pleasure.
Pretty much.
What do we do? Or what would we be? One of these lazy ass shows taking days off around the holidays?
No, we're not going to be that.
Hell no.
Who does that?
Hell no, not us.
Yeah. Well, so for the few of you out there, we're happy to share the next hour with you as we did the first two. This is a question for AJ. If Utah's in the playoffs, can they match up against the other teams?
I don't know. I mean, I think that they can't. They won't. I don't think they'll get run out. Because I think that they are sound enough defensively. They're super well coached. I think Kyle Whittingham is one of the most underrated coaches in college football. They've got a great defense. They've got a really solid quarterback and a good running back. I don't think they can win it. Are they going to beat Ohio State? Are they going to beat Clemson? Are they going to beat LSU? Probably not. But I don't think they're the kind of team that's going to get their doors blown off either. Whereas I could see Oklahoma getting their doors blown off.
Yeah, I just think it depends on the matchup. And
I could see Alabama getting their doors blown off.
Yeah, I still don't know if I agree with you.
Without Tua.
Let me answer that after I see how this kid plays this week.
Okay.
So,
because I've heard some Alabama fan was in my mentions yesterday. They got their feelings hurt, and they're like, well, look at his stats through two games. Yeah, against Arkansas and West Carolina.
I'm sorry, I'm not counting those.
Come on.
As much as I would like to be able to defend you guys on that, no. So, you're up two.
I'm up 4.5, Fred. I'm not looking for overtime, though. Now I want a three.
Yeah, that's the worst part about games like this. So,
Splash. Missed it. Even better.
How much time's left?
I think 1.8 seconds. Is that what that says?
Yep, 1.8.
That's going to be a winner. That I had Ole Miss plus 2.5 with 7 minutes left in the game. Penn State was 97% to cover probability. They didn't make a field goal from 7:20 in the game on. How crazy is that?
Wow. Well, there's another Hoffman winner. Congratulations. Mark, thank you for working around Thanksgiving. How many days off are you guys taking around Christmas and New Year's? I really don't have any.
We'll take Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off.
Pretty much, yeah. So.
We'll take New Year's Day off, but I'm not taking New Year's Eve off.
No. I mean, unless there's some Aggie basketball or something, we'll be here. I will either be going to Saskatchewan for a few days in early December, or London for a couple days in January, but that's it. I'll be around here for the holidays.
I'm not going anywhere.
So
I'm here to grind. Me and Juggalo Trey working every day.
Juggy's going to be in here producing on Friday.
Yeah, Juggalo Trey. Aaron needed the day off on Friday. Guess who's not taking the day off? Juggalo Trey.
That's
He's
all
like,
right.
I got you, man.
Yeah, I don't want to get Aaron to start worrying or anything, but Juggy did a really good job the last time he filled in.
That's right.
And, you know, we kind of like Juggy. So, yeah, I mean, that's okay. Enjoy your day off. Don't worry about anything.
And he kind of fits the look of our band.
He does.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, he looks like what I would expect a bass player in our band to look like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, I picture him more as like a keyboards guy.
Well, he does both. He
maybe even
that.
Maybe a keytar.
Ooh.
Yeah, picture that.
See, I could see him being the guy who breaks out the cello for a song.
That'd be good.
Yeah. That would be Juggalo Trey. Yeah.
How great would it be if, like, we didn't know it, but Juggalo Trey was like a classical cellist? You just
would you be surprised at all, though?
Yes.
I wouldn't. Because he's kind of
Trey grew up in like a trailer park in Baytown. He doesn't have a cello.
He's got all this weird stuff going on though, man. He would not. There's pretty much nothing you would tell me about him that would surprise me. 830 says listening from Granbury on the app. Definitely prefer listening to you guys and getting some betting tips than listening to my family bitch at each other.
There you go.
Yeah, the Blitz better than your family bitching at each other
since what 2009?
It's been a long friggin' time.
Yeah.
Did they just? Yep, that's it, right? Game over.
That's it.
So. Yep.
To the window, as they say.
Yeah, yeah. Why is his name Juggalo? It's just the nickname we stuck him with.
I mean, we stuck him with that nickname because he looks like a Juggalo.
He does.
He's
look
not
like
really a Juggalo, no. But if you saw him and you didn't know him, you would think that he was a Juggalo. And if I mean,
yeah, he's definitely not a Juggalo.
He's got Juggalo looks for sure.
Definitely.
He looks like he could be the guy behind the camera in the Superhuman videos.
Yeah. What if, I mean, he's like if good friend Paul was a little bit chubbier and you pulled his mask off, it wouldn't shock me if it was Trey. Like,
oh, yeah.
Trey is good friend Paul.
You know what's funny?
One day they'll have an episode where they unmask good friend Paul and it'll be Trey.
It'll be Trey.
Told you guys
it
was
Jiggalos and Jiggalettes.
So,
whoop whoop.
What are the odds Charlie Polillo has seen a Superhuman video?
0%. He's probably come across one and been like, what the hell is this?
Do you think
he wouldn't know?
Because he really doesn't do a lot on Twitter. I mean, he only follows one person.
Who's
right?
He follow?
Phil Steele. That's like the tweet of God follows one person, Justin Bieber.
Well, there you go.
So that's not that I'm comparing Charlie to God, but kind of radio-wise, maybe.
He's following three people.
Oh, ooh, who are the other now? Two?
Joel Blank?
Yep.
Oof.
And Newhouse Sports.
What the hell is that?
Newhouse Sports Media Center, connecting sports people and all media to each other and to good content.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little offended that if he's going to follow one person at the station, it's Joel.
I mean, do you think it would be you?
No.
But I mean,
who should it be? Well, he might want to follow.
Surprise. It's the Newhouse thing is part of Syracuse.
Of course.
Well, I would either follow, no offense to Joel, but Lance, who he worked with, actually did a show together.
It's true.
Or the program director.
No, I'm not a good follow on Twitter.
No, you're not. But
all I do is inappropriate jokes and retweet funny memes.
Or the legend that is John Granato. Granato's like the godfather of all sports talk
in
this city.
He's been doing it for a while.
Yeah. And, you know, he started when he was like 4. He's been doing it forever. So,
boy, yeah, this guy was like the guy that we were talking, that I was saying about Brandon Brooks. He said, it's off the record. He says it was an O'Brien decision. He thought Brooks was soft because of the issue. They hated each other over it.
Boy,
I like it.
Bill O'Brien is such a penis.
He really is.
I don't feel bad for ripping.
He's not a great guy.
832 says, there's more than 8 listeners. I'd rather listen to you guys than my wife asking me to put up Christmas lights. I've told her for the last 12 years I don't put up lights until after Thanksgiving. I share that sentiment, but I also don't want to hear, I don't want to see any Christmas advertising before Thanksgiving. Guess what? Been seeing it for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I've given up because everybody does that. Pat in the 409 says, you guys with Charlie on Friday will be the first time I watch on Twitch when there aren't any women in studio. It'll be interesting.
What should we wear?
You know what? I'm thinking of wearing...
I'm going to wear shorts and like a polo shirt that I got in 1986.
I am going to wear my Gary Carter Expos jersey.
You're not doing a show with... Are you trying to be Ken Hoffman?
Yeah, kind of. Because that'll make him comfortable. Because okay. He does a show with Hoffy.
Okay. So should I wear a jersey too?
I don't know. I've also got my Russian hockey jersey that Michael gave me. I could wear that.
Okay.
I don't really have a lot of jerseys. I have those two jerseys, and I have like my Poker Stars stuff from the 2006 World Series. They gave me like a rugby shirt and a hockey shirt. So that's the only jerseys I have. So maybe that's – what do you think? Expo jersey? What do you
think, that'll work. That's a good call.
Somebody has to wear a starter windbreaker.
I don't have one of
those. I don't have one of those either.
I think Trey does. If not, I bet he could find one in Baytown.
Probably.
Yeah.
I hear that's still like the style in Baytown. Cowboys starter jackets.
Yeah, well, Trey, in honor of Charlie, you need to wear some kind of baseball jersey from the 70s or 80s. And I'm sure you have one. I have no doubt that Trey has something like that in his closet.
You know, now that I think about it, I think we should play a game on Friday. Like, see who's more in tune with today's pop culture between Trey and Charlie. How would that work?
Actually, I think it'd be pretty damn close.
I think that's a
couple. Now if we
I
make,
think we just got a couple segments done for Friday's
show.
But
what if we made it about the 80s? Then it's competitive.
Trey wasn't even alive in the 80s.
I know, but for some reason.
He lived 0 days in the 80s.
And yet he is an 80s savant.
Are you, Trey? Would you consider yourself a savant? How much do you know about Q-Bert? He doesn't even know Q-Bert. He's not an 80s savant.
I don't even know Q-Bert.
But you know about Dig Dug? If you don't know Q-Bert and Dig Dug, you're not an 80s kid.
I don't know Q-Bert and Dig Dug. And
you're not an
80s
kid.
I grew up in the 80s.
No, you weren't a kid in the 80s playing Atari then.
I had Intellivision.
You were already trying to get laid in the 80s, right?
Well, yeah, I was getting stoned and laid and playing rock and roll.
Like, that's not when you were growing up. Like, I'm talking about like you were a kid in the 80s, you knew who Dig Dug and Q-Bert
were. Yeah, but when you come of age in the 80s, that's more important.
Okay. But you can't say I'm a child of the 80s. Like, I'm a child of the 80s.
No, I mean, you're literally using child. I mean, I'm talking about when you come of age.
Okay.
I came of age in the 80s. Does Charlie know he's supposed to be on with you Friday? I listened to the podcast from yesterday, and he said on air he and Jose are off Friday.
Oh, no. He'll be here.
Yeah, I think he meant from 11 to 1.
Yeah, they're off from 11 to 1.
Yeah, but he'll be here with us from 4 to 6. And you know, Adrian says you should get an Andre Dawson Expos jersey. Dude, do you know how hard it was for me to get a friggin' any Expos jersey? My wife had to go to like 4 different shops in Montreal, and that's the only one she could find.
Gary Carter?
Yeah, it was Gary Carter. Because that wouldn't have been my first choice.
You're such a bandwagoner. The Nationals win the World Series
I've had that for a year. Mm-hmm. Because I just thought it would be cool to have an I didn't even want a jersey. I wanted like an Expos hoodie or something. And she did. She went to 4 stores in Montreal trying to find me something, and that's all she could find.
If I had any Expos jersey, I could have any Expos jersey that I wanted.
I'd want Guerrero. Vlad Guerrero.
No, I'd
or
want
Pedro.
I'd want it to be something really, really obscure. Who people were like, really? Like Jeff Facero. I'd love to have a Jeff Facero or a Tim Wallach.
Okay, Tim Wallach isn't that.
It's not that obscure.
Yeah.
What about Marquise Grissom?
That'd be a good one. That was fairly recent near the end, right?
Yeah.
So.
What about Jeff Reardon?
It's not a bad one.
I feel like Pedro's too big time.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess like Dennis,
who was the
Dennis
pitcher?
Martinez was their big pitcher.
Well, but who was the guy they had in 94 that was having a great year? Was it Rogers? I'm thinking of Steve Rogers.
Steve Rogers was like he was like 70s, 80s guy. He had a big mustache.
But somebody in 94 was having a monster year for them, just like Bagwell was when the...
It wasn't Pedro?
Well, besides Pedro. I mean, Pedro's easy to remember.
They also had, in on that 90s team, or 94 team at least, they had John Wetland, who went on to be the closer for the Yankees.
Moise Salou was on that team.
That's a good one.
Trey says Ken Hill.
Okay. What about Andres Galarraga?
That's not a bad one. He was on my fantasy team for years. So, yeah, I'm looking at their pitching staff.
And, I think Jeff Fassero was on the team in the late 90s or in the mid 90s.
Pedro and, boy, I'm not thinking of whoever's on there. I'm thinking of somebody else.
You're thinking of Jeff Fassero.
No, I wasn't thinking of Jeff Fassero.
You have to. I wonder what Jeff Fassero's career stats look like. Hold on, Aaron. I'm looking up Jeff Fassero's stats. If you would have already done this,
that's part of your job. You're supposed to be looking these things up as we go and then typing them in.
Yeah, Jeff Fassero is the jersey I would want. Left-handed pitcher, career 121 and 124 with a 4.11 ERA. Pitched for the Expos from 91 to 96, the Mariners for a few years, Texas, Boston, Cubs, Cardinals, Rockies, Diamondbacks, Giants. 16-year career for Jeff Fassero. Who would have thought? He retired in 2006.
Rock Reigns Expos jersey.
That's a good one, but that's too.
I just got.
Yeah, that's too.
But see, if you get Rock Reigns jersey, then you have to carry your cocaine in your back pocket. That's my favorite story about him, is that he always slid head first because he had a vial of coke in his back pocket.
I think that's the only story about him.
I know, there's nothing else, right?
The other story is, eventually, because they didn't want to put roid heads in the Hall of Fame, they said, you know what, how about Tim Raines? And there he is in the Hall of Fame.
Larry Walker was on that team.
Yeah.
Cliff Floyd.
Floyd's a good one.
Why do I remember all these guys?
Cliff Floyd, more success, though, as a Florida Marlin.
True.
I think he was on the expansion.
Larry Walker, more success as a Colorado Rockies.
Slightly too. More success.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
All right. More success at Carbach. Me or you? Me. It's me. I mean, you're pretty good there. I'm better. Guys, if you haven't been to Carbach, success is waiting for you. Failure if you don't go, but success is waiting for you. And guys, the restaurant, out of this world. The food option, I know tomorrow you're eating Thanksgiving dinner. You probably don't want to cook tonight. Well, go to Carbach. How about Friday? You don't want to eat crappy turkey salad? Go to Carbach. How about over the weekend? You're tired of your family being there? You want to get away? Go to Carbach. On top of the great food, they've got tons of beer on the wall. All of it pairs perfectly with what they have on the menu. Some of those beers you can only get at the brewery. Guys, they've always got fun things going on at the brewery, weekly things. They've got special events, concerts, things like that. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to keep up with all the things they got going on at the brewery, at the restaurant, and in the concert series. And then when you're out and about this weekend, or you're having Thanksgiving dinner, or you're getting drunk with your family, make it a Carbach.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason, can't find hope to believe in.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. What are the odds Wednesday? So, some betting in case, you know, these games happen before we get on the air Friday, and who knows how much betting we'll get to until 6. You mentioned you like Mississippi State tomorrow. I do too. Don't have any real opinions on the football, but I do like, I mean, if I had to bet, I'd take the Bears and the Bills. Maybe it's worth teasing with something, but I don't care. I mean, I'm not betting those games. If you had to bet something, and I know you guys are going to bet something because it's Thanksgiving and you don't want to listen to your family the whole time. The Friday games, I don't mind Texas Tech getting 10 from Texas. I'm not sure Texas can beat anybody by 10 right now.
Boy, Texas Tech sucks, though, and they've got nothing to play for.
Yeah, well, like I said, I have no faith in Texas at this point.
That's reasonable.
That
opened at 5.5 and it shot to 10.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can't bet Texas at that
but
number.
You know what? Tech really hasn't been getting blown out. They hang around, and I think they'll hang around and get beat. Just hopefully won't be 10. Here's another one that interests me. Missouri minus 12.5 at Arkansas. I kind of feel like fading Arkansas every freaking week. I know they covered last week.
That's the easy thing to do. Missouri is such a mess. They can't get a bowl game. And they all quit a couple months ago. I mean, that whole team has just said, eh, whatever, we're done. And
Arkansas quit before that.
Well, Arkansas, I mean,
at least they have a new coach trying to
win. Yeah, there's some people there trying to do some things. Missouri's just like, what? I mean, Missouri lost to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be careful, you know, giving points with a team that lost to Vanderbilt.
On the road.
Well, they're going to be on the road against Arkansas.
That's what I'm saying. On the road.
Although it's actually, this is the other thing that's kind of crazy. That game is going to be at Little Rock for some reason instead of Fayetteville. So Missouri has to drive an extra 4 hours to get to the game. I can't imagine Missouri has any interest in playing this game.
Here's one. Central Florida minus 23 against South Florida. I know South Florida is terrible. I don't think Central Florida is all that motivated anymore.
No, either. I can't imagine they are.
And that's one thing that I'm looking at for a bunch of these. I do like TCU to cover against West Virginia at home. I think it's a long trip for West Virginia after another game where they got run over a little bit against Okie State. I'm not going to touch Memphis-Cincinnati. It feels like too big of a number at 11.5.
I
don't like the way Cincinnati's playing right now.
Yeah, I used Memphis in a teaser down to 5. I used them with Washington State. So Washington State down to 1.5, Memphis down to 5. I mean, Washington, I also played Washington straight up minus 7.5, but I think that they were just an easy tease piece. So Cincinnati is just, they've been eking by against bad teams lately. And, you know, Memphis is the only one of these teams that has something to play for here. So,
yeah, and Cincinnati's already in the championship game.
Right.
Memphis is not. Memphis has to win. If they lose, then it'll be Navy.
Yep.
If Navy beats Houston, which
is likely. Yeah,
they're going to beat Houston. Although, again, I might lean UH to cover the 9. I do think they're playing a little harder than one game Saturday. I mentioned that you want to talk about motivation. I like SMU a lot against Tulane. SMU is trying to get to 10 wins. They're playing at home. They're coming off a disappointing loss against Navy. I think they're going to howl. And I've never been sold on Tulane. I've been fading them now for a while. So I like SMU a lot in that game.
I'll tell you as far as motivation goes, we've been talking about Utah and a team that's got to go out and really get some style points. Well, they've got a real good opportunity to do it because Colorado stinks. And
you're 28 point favorites against them.
28 point favorites at home. And you could say, oh, I mean, that's a big number. It is a big number. But guess what? Guess what Utah's been doing for basically the entire conference schedule since they lost to USC? Covering big numbers in conference. They were a 24-point favorite last week. Covered. 21-point favorite the week before. Covered. They've covered every game since that USC game.
If you believe in the motivation factor, then I think I'd look at the over because the spread's 28, and you know how I like those low overs with big spreads?
Yeah.
Because a team could easily do that by itself. 49.5.
The problem is I don't see Utah allowing Colorado to score. I think Colorado.
So you said the same thing to me with Ohio State and Rutgers, and it worked out pretty well for me. So,
it did.
And again, Utah could score 50 on its own, and if they don't, all I need is a couple scores from Colorado. And you can get fluke scores. I mean,
oh, certainly.
It's really hard to shut out a team, especially if you've got a huge lead late. So I might look at the over there. But how about Rice minus 7 at UTEP?
Be mindful, though. These are some of the scores of conference opponents. Oregon State put up 7 against Utah. Arizona State put up 3. Cal put up 0. UCLA put up 3. Arizona put up 7. And the 7 that Arizona put up was literally in the last 30 seconds of the game.
Well,
I mean,
I'll take that. Give me 7 in the last 30 seconds of the game.
All right. 2 shutouts, 2 threes, and 2 sevens on their resume this season.
And if they're trying to step on their throats and make sure that they make a statement, which they will.
What's the total? 50 what?
49.5.
49?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't think Utah can score 50 on Colorado?
They probably can. And, I mean, they scored 49 on UCLA.
And if they're pushing it late, then there's always a chance of a turnover and Colorado scores. I like the over there. I'm almost willing to give 7 points with Rice at UTEP. That's how bad UTEP is.
That is pretty bad.
And
look at, man, look at Rice winning a couple games.
Yeah.
Being favorites late in the season.
Somebody asked what thoughts on the Ohio State-Michigan spread. I'm staying away from that game.
Stay away from me, too. I think that Michigan can push them, but I also, I'm not one to get in the way of a train. And Ohio, nobody's played Ohio State to single digits yet this year. You know, I'm not going to bet money that Michigan's the team to do it.
Penn State had everything go right last week and still couldn't get within 10.
Nope.
So, although I do like Michigan, I think they're a better team than Penn State. I also think you'll see a different kind of game here. And then a lot of people asking about Oklahoma State. I like Oklahoma State to cover quite a bit. I don't think they can win with a backup quarterback. But I do think it at Stillwater, and Oklahoma's got to be a little tight here, and they're going to be trying to make a statement. I don't know if that's going to work out for them.
Well, I mean, they definitely need style points. I don't know that they can get them because they haven't had style points the last 4 weeks. But I will say that Hubbard being the focus of that offense makes it a little bit easier for Oklahoma, because if Oklahoma gets out 14 points, Oklahoma State can't really run the ball anymore.
Right. And you know, but if they can get ahead, and at home, I think they have a chance to get ahead, that'll make it tough on Oklahoma, because you know, in the longer they hang around, I think the tighter Oklahoma gets.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, I got to tell you about Lions Poker Palace. And it is exactly that. It is a poker palace, but guess what? They're closed tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so
what?
You have to spend your day with your family. But you know what? You don't have to.
Horrible.
You don't have to spend Friday with your family. You could spend that at Lions Poker Palace, because they've got a 12 p.m. tournament with a $100 plus $30 and one rebuy, one add-on, $3,300 guaranteed. And then they have a 6:30 tournament tomorrow, $150, $10,000 guaranteed. And they've also got a PLO tournament with $10,000 guaranteed. So they've got tournaments all the time. And Friday is going to be your day to go, because you don't want to be at home. And you can watch all the football.
Yeah, all the games are on there. They got TVs all over the place. The food is fantastic in case you're tired of turkey by the time Friday, Saturday rolls around. Guys, we play in Vegas all the time, and Fred'll agree with me on this. There are not many rooms that can compare to Lions Poker Palace, even in Vegas. Stop by and see for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. That's our friends at Lions Poker Palace.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Man, this coaching change may be working out for my beloved Leafs. They haven't lost since. Hey, I'm taking every...
Yeah, I mean, listen.
They were sucking, man. They had to do something. So we haven't talked about this, but this idea of the NBA doing a in-season tournament, soccer style. Have you seen this?
No.
Well, here's what they're talking about.
I'm against that.
Well, so is James Harden and PJ Tucker.
Okay.
Because I think Harden said, what is this, college? But basically, they're engaged in serious discussions with broadcast partners to make dramatic changes to the league calendar. That includes a reseeding of the four conference finalists, a 30-team in-season tournament, and a postseason play-in. Here's the bad news. They're going to reduce the regular season, but only to 78 games. To me, all that stuff doesn't matter. If you're still playing 78 games, it's too many. And I know they're not going to get rid of anything, but this actually adds more, because you have a postseason play-in. So here's the proposals. In-season tournaments and postseason play-in. And so you reduce the schedule from 82 to 78, which, you know, that doesn't really reduce anything. They're focused on 30-team participation that begins with a divisional group stage of scheduled regular season games. Those pre-knockout round games will be part of the regular season schedule. six divisional winners based on home and away records in the group stage. This is just, they're going to, if you're going to do some kind of tournament, why don't you do like a week, you take a week off and you put together like a division all-star team and those play each other. All the divisions play.
Yeah.
Or national teams or something like that. You know, mix it up a little bit so it's not, okay, here's a tournament with the Rockets and you get whatever cup they have. See, I think what they're trying to do is soccer here. And it works for soccer, but that's stuff that's been established. And what are you going to do if you invite other leagues? Okay. But I mean, what good is a tournament with teams that are already there that you're already playing?
Right.
I don't know, man. I agree. They need to do something, but adding, I don't know. This actually would not change the number of games the way they're doing this. And I don't know, man. Maybe the play-in for the playoffs is a good idea. Reseeding's a good idea, but an in-season tournament? I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to be at all interested in regular season basketball until it starts mattering. I don't know if this is going to change anything. You're still doing the same amount of games. The most I ever enjoyed it was the strike-shortened season when they did like 68 because those games meant a lot.
I like it better. I want less games, but I don't want some silly tournament in the middle of the season either to get it.
No, but you're only talking about four less regular season games. That's come on. So I don't know. I think and I get that they're kind of going through some issues and TV ratings are down and all that, and they need to get interest going. But I think the reality is you got to make things mean more. And the same thing with baseball. There's no reason for 162 games. There really isn't. And the games just don't mean anything.
No, and it's hard to keep people interested. And I get that teams say, and you know who cares is the teams who sell out every game. The Cubs love having 81 home games.
Of course they do.
But if teams had 65 home games, they're more likely to sell those games out instead of having empty-ass stadiums most of the time.
Well, I mean, even teams like the Astros and Yankees don't sell out every game.
The Red Sox and the Cubs, those are the teams who don't want that.
And that's because they also have small places to play.
Although the Cubs have added, but they always sell out.
Still. But it's I don't know. And I just think you have to have more urgency. And I know it's never going to be football. Because football, you do have that urgency because there's only a certain amount of games. Although apparently Texan fan wasn't very urgent when they played the Colts.
No.
But, you know, I'd like to see some changes to make it more interesting. I just don't know if that's it. And 346 says maybe they'll relegate the sorry squad. I think relegation, that is one of the best things that soccer does.
It'll never work here, though.
Well, it's because you don't have a supporting league.
Yeah.
Is the problem. Now, the G League, I guess, is the closest, but the problem with that is I don't know that these teams have arenas that you could play NBA games in.
They don't. So the Austin Toros used to play in the Austin Convention Center. It's like the size of my high school gym.
And baseball, all your AAA teams are affiliated.
Yeah.
But I think that is one of the best things about soccer. It gives you motivation. You're not trying to... I thought you stopped the music there because I was making some great point.
No.
That wasn't it at all. But the teams at the bottom are trying to be motivated to stay in there, and they keep trying to win instead of, let's get a draft pick. Let's just tank. And it rewards you for success. Of course, the Astros would have been relegated a few years ago. So, all right, quick break, one segment to go. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I've never understood why the Lions and Cowboys always get the play on Thanksgiving. In the spirit of Thanksgiving, shouldn't the Patriots play the Redskins and then steal their stadium afterwards?
Happy Thanksgiving from ESPN 97.5.
Guys, as you know, shopping for electricity rates, it can be rough. Triangle, though, they make it easy for you. They're a born and raised in Texas company that provides simple fixed rates. What that means is your rates are going to stay the same, no matter how little or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. There's no gimmicks, no gotchas. In fact, you'll receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill hits the mail. You can lock in for 12, 24, or 36 months and avoid those rate hikes. They keep it simple there. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay. And I've actually got the green plan there, so I've got 100% renewable energy, and I feel good about what I'm doing. And they're also offering a discount for our listeners. Use the promo code ESPN when you sign up. Save even more money off their already great rates. What are you waiting for, guys? 877-93-EAGLE. Visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TRIEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT number 10064.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go today. And we'll wrap it up the way we do every Wednesday with famous deaths. We'll start off with our celebrities. Bill Bixby from My Favorite Martian and The Incredible Hulk. Dead from cancer at 59, I guess.
Oh, no.
Green with envy of everyone who's still alive. David Cassidy in 2017.
And the Sundance Kid.
The Partridge Family guy.
Oh.
Shemp from the Three Stooges in 1955. Oh, boy, this is pretty bad. Okay, 2016, Florence Henderson.
The mom from Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch, yeah. Dead at 82.
Do you think she was hot?
No, I did not. Okay.
I think she was sneaky hot.
One of many unpopular opinions I'm going to have during these deaths. None of the Brady women hot to me.
Marsha wasn't hot to you?
No, Marsha, not hot.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm skipping.
I don't know how old Marsha was on the show. I guess it doesn't matter because when I was thinking about having sex with Marsha, I was underage, too.
Yeah, we all were.
And Marsha, like the actress who plays Marsha, is much older than me. And also had a massive cocaine addiction, I believe.
Maureen McCormick, right?
Yeah.
That would give me a chance.
I thought she was super hot. Yeah, that does give you a good chance.
No. None of them did it for me. Nor did the Partridge Family, by the way, but that's another story. God. Okay, Sean Taylor, that's a good one.
That is a good one. That's actually 12 years ago today.
Fatally shot in the upper leg by an armed intruder at the age of 24. That sucks. November 25, 2016, Fidel Castro, dead at 90, although a lot of people believed he died a long time before that.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't do a lot of popes, but in 496, I love this name, Pope Gelasius.
I think it's Galatius.
Galatius or Galatius?
I think Galatius. Or Gelasius. I think Galatius.
I'm changing my name to Galatius.
Maybe Gelasius.
I'm changing my name to that. I think that's an awesome name, however you pronounce it. Okay, 2007, Robert Cade, who invented Gatorade, dead at 80. Guess he's Gatorade Zero now? okay, these all suck. Let's go to the famous criminals. 1963, Lee Harvey Oswald, shot dead by Jack Ruby at the age of 24. Oswald didn't do it. That's the one conspiracy thing that I remain fascinated by to this day. Goes back to what we were talking about with the movie earlier. 1934, Babyface Nelson. Shot by the FBI at the age of 26. Babyface Nelson, number 22 on my rankings of great criminals.
That sounds like an Irish name, not an Italian name.
That's why he's only number 22. you got to be Italian to be in the top 10. That's just a fact. Okay, here's our best deaths. Does notorious English pirate Blackbeard count as a best death?
Yeah, top four pirate.
Is he?
Yeah.
You have like maybe the most famous pirate.
No. Long John Silver.
In this part of the world, Jean Lafitte.
No.
Yes.
Long John Silver.
Around Louisiana and Texas, sorry.
Long John Silver is in 50 states.
And somewhere, Jean Lafitte's treasure is running around the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico, and one of these days I'm going to find it, and then I'm retiring. And I'll be able to buy Blackbeard's treasures, whatever. Okay, I got another unpopular opinion coming. So, 1963, John F. Kennedy, dead at 46.
What a coincidence that John F. Kennedy and Lee Harvey Oswald died in the same week. Yeah. I mean, Who saw that coming?
And, okay, here's my other...
Like, those two have been connected throughout history. And did anybody know they died in the same week?
I didn't know that. Hmm. I'm surprised that it didn't get split up to a different week.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for Dallas, that's all we'll ever be known for is killing Kennedy. All right. Unpopular opinion. This is a greater death than John F. Kennedy.
Oh, boy. Let's do it then.
Freddie Mercury.
Ooh. Okay.
That's... I'm sorry. Freddie Mercury greater than JFK.
Okay.
Longer career. More success. Now, they have made more movies about JFK.
Favorite Queen song?
Boy, that's a tough one. Because there's so many of them that I love. You know, I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody is kind of the gold standard. But, I mean, like Stone Cold Crazy.
I love Fat Bottom Girls. Oh, both.
I'm up there.
In the literal sense and the music sense. Oh, won't you take me home? You can't beat it, man. That's how you open up a song.
Here's another unpopular opinion. Bicycle and Fat Bottom Girls might be a better combo than We Are the Champions.
I don't like that Bicycle's connected to Fat Bottom Girls.
Well, but I don't like that We Are the Champions.
Get on your bikes and ride!
Yeah, and then Fat Bottom Girls will be riding today. And that there's a whole picture of a butt on a bike. It's perfect. I love Freddie Mercury.
I like We Will Rock You, but I don't really like We Are the Champions.
Yeah, I'm kind of the opposite. So I'll take Bicycle and Fat Bottom Girls.
When I was in the Army, we used to, one of my drill sergeants used to have us run cadence to We Will Rock You. Although it was like he would change up the words a little bit. So that was kind of cool.
Well,
like when everything else was like miserable in basic training, he at least threw some Freddie Mercury at us, which there was probably a bunch of kids my age. Most kids didn't appreciate it probably, but to hell with them.
Well, the one line of Freddie Mercury's that always comes to mind when I think of him dead is, who wants to live forever when love must die? Your porn star, Zoe Zane, internet porn star in 2007, 18 years old, died from?
AIDS.
Murder. 2015, Stacey Cash, age 35, died from?
AIDS.
Accidental drug overdose. Probably while she had AIDS. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Great job, Aaron. Have a great Thanksgiving.
My favorite Freddie Mercury line, take me to them dirty ladies every time.
Killer Queen's another great
that's
one.
That's a good one, too.
All right. Great job, Hoffman. Very thankful for everybody who listens to this show. I hope you guys have an awesome Thanksgiving. We'll be back on Friday with Charlie Palillo. We'll find out his favorite Queen song. Till then, stay sporty.
See if he likes Fat Bottom Girls.